Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, please turn with me to 1 John. Chapter 2, 1 John, chapter 2, we will be considering verses 1 through 6 this evening. We'll be considering verses 3 through 6, but I will be reading verses 1 through 6 for context. Let's go before the Lord once again and ask him to bless the preaching of his word. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, now as we come to your word, we pray, Lord, that you would bless the preaching of it. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight through Christ Jesus our Lord. Pray, Lord, that your spirit would be at work, quickening our hearts and our minds to understand the truths of your word, that you would encourage us and strengthen us this very day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Hear now the holy word of God. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. Well, beloved, we enjoy knowing people, don't we? Generally, we can probably agree that there are two types of knowing. We can know someone and just know who they are. We can recognize them from a distance or recognize them on TV or in the newspaper. If someone brought up their name, we would recognize it also. But we don't have a relationship with them otherwise. Now, on the flip side of that, there are also types of relationships where we know people more deeply. In fact, I'm sure most of us would say that we enjoy and appreciate deeper relationships with our family and friends, relationships that are beyond being casual or mere acquaintances. These are meaningful relationships. It's also true that we enjoy being known by them. And if you think about it, we can often evaluate and reflect on the depth of these relationships, saying things like, oh yeah, I know him or her really well. We're close. We're best friends. Or on the flip side, he only thinks that he knows me, but he really doesn't. And though we may only have a handful of friends or family who we consider close in this life, deep, personal, meaningful relationships are very important for us. Not only do we need to have some, but we need to be able to have confidence to recognize those relationships for what they are and enjoy them. And this principle can be no more true and essential than considering our relationship with Jesus Christ. As many in John's audience were faced with questions by the Gnostics and others, which raised doubt in their minds regarding what true salvation was based on, and whether they were truly saved, and whether the people could have any assurance of their salvation, John issues yet another test to definitively address the issue of assurance by telling them how they could know that they know him. And as Paul told the people in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6, he said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." And remember also John's purpose in writing this epistle, which he points out in chapter 5 of 1 John, verse 13. He says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." And so when we are asked how we know that we know someone, our response may be focused on how often we talk to the person or how often we visit them, what we talk about in those visits, mutual sharing and encouragement, mutual acts of love, etc. But here, John answers the question, how do you know that you know Jesus? How would you answer this question? For there are some in the pews of the church that claim to know him and don't know him. And there are those who make that claim and do know him. So I ask again, how do you know that you know him? Let's consider the clear truth that John tells us in this passage, clearing any doubt and uncertainty away regarding this knowledge and assurance of our salvation, as well as what we therefore must do. So verse 3, we see the test of knowing him. "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Remember that the first test of assurance that John gave was about profession of fellowship with God. A mark of a true Christian is that they desire to walk in the light as he is in the light and stay away from darkness. The second test was about profession regarding indwelling sin. One of the greatest marks of a true Christian is their sensitivity to sin, followed by sincere confession and repentance. Now, this third test is about one's profession of knowing Jesus. Another mark of a true Christian is that they claim to be a disciple of Christ and have a desire to follow his word. And now it's important to understand that the two no's in this verse are referring to two different things. The first is referring to conviction and confidence in the second no. And that second no is referring to faith. So we have a conviction that we have believed unto salvation. And when we search the scriptures, we often find faith signified by the name knowledge. John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And this knowledge is a transforming knowledge in which we trust God in Christ and are changed into his likeness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so as true faith is present, we can discern and see the fruit of obedience. Remember, Jesus said, "We will be known by our fruit." And so John said, "Now by this we know that we know him," notice, "if we keep his commandments." My friends, if we truly know him, we must have a very different relationship with his word, his laws, his precepts than when we didn't know him. If we truly know him, we must have a desire to know his word and to keep it. John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And so we see that obedience is one of the paramount responsibilities of the Christian. In fact, we as Christians must be committed to and focused on keeping his commandments. True Christians are not those who are occasionally obedient, but are those who desire to and work towards maintaining their daily obedience to his commandments. We desire to make obedience a consistent practice in our lives. Remember the conclusion that Solomon came to at the end of Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. This is the end of that book. He said this, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." So obedience really needs to be before our eyes. Obedience needs to be in our minds. It needs to be part of our desire. We are far from perfect as sinners in keeping his law perfectly. But yet, his grace is at work in us, and we desire to do so. Also be encouraged in your keeping the commands of God by the words of Psalm 119, beginning in verse 1. There we read, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness in heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." And as we will see in the coming weeks, Lord willing, keeping God's commandments is also evidence of several other things. It's evidence of our love of God, our love of his people, our abiding in him, and he in us as well. So how do you know that you know him? Do you keep his commandments? Now, as we've considered these verses prior to this passage, we know that, as I said, John isn't demanding perfection in sinless living to know that you are a Christian. However, our lives should be marked by a habitual, a purposeful practice to know God's word and to obey it. And notice verse 4. He says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Beloved, there are a couple of things to point out here. There are many people who say, "I know him," but don't truly know him. How do we know this? Because it is evident in their lives. They have no sincere regard or love for Christ, which is evident in that they have no regard for his word. They may stand up because of some religious experience or make a claim of, "I know him," but John says, if you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar. Literally, you are a hypocritical pretender. But secondly, note this. This also draws our attention to wolves who try to blend into the flock wearing sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They even say sheep-isms. They know Christianese. Even some other sheep don't recognize the wolf in their midst. They follow them blindly. However, closer examination exposes them. They have fangs like a wolf, they have fur like a wolf, and they stink like a wolf. They aren't for Christ and his crown. They don't know his word. They don't seek to obey by his grace or give him glory. For they are liars like their father, the father of lies. Truth isn't in them, because if the word was in them, they would press forward to keep it. And now John goes on to tell the people about the assurance of true profession. So if this was a warning about false profession, here he goes on to say, now listen to this and be encouraged about true profession. Verse 5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. So in this habitual, purposeful practice of obeying God's commands, his precepts and laws, we learn something wonderful about the love of God manifest in the life of the Christian. It is perfected in him. In other words, the love of God is so matured in our lives that it is manifesting itself in obedience. Remember John, 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Remember that. His commandments are not burdensome. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 18, on assurance of grace and salvation, in section 3, says this. I think it's helpful. This infallible assurance does not so belong to the essence of faith, but that a true believer may wait long and conflict with many difficulties before he be a partaker of it. Yet being enabled by the Spirit to know the things which are freely given of him of God, he may, without extraordinary revelation in the right use of ordinary means, attain thereunto. And therefore, it is the duty of everyone to give all diligence to make his calling and election sure, that thereby his heart may be enlarged in peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, in love and thankfulness to God, and in strength and in cheerfulness in the duties of obedience. The proper fruits of this assurance. So far it is it from inclining men to looseness. So John says, by this, we know that we are in him. So as true faith shows the reality of our intimate relationship with God, knowing Jesus is critical. And here, John further emphasizes this evidence as demonstrating our union with Christ. By the perfection of the love of God demonstrated by obedience, we can have conviction and confidence that we belong to Jesus. And in verse 6, he says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. And so here John states a conclusion to this matter. Notice in verse 3, John speaks of keeping God's commandments. And then in verse 5, he speaks of keeping his word. And here he says that we need to walk the way Jesus walked. In other words, living consistently the way Christ lived. Thomas Watson described this as our being walking pictures of Christ, quote unquote. Being walking pictures of Christ. I think his words are helpful. He says this, a Christian should be both a magnet and a diamond. We should be a magnet in drawing others to Christ, a diamond in casting a sparkling luster of holiness in his life. Oh, let us be so just in our dealings, so true in our promises, so devout in our worship, so unblameable in our lives, that we may be the walking pictures of Christ. So again, John says that since Jesus is both our lawgiver and our pattern, since he then practiced himself what he commands us to do, if we have a real union with him, then we know that the Holy Spirit is at work in us to walk as he walked. Again, walk in the light as he is in the light. And so consider today, do you know that you know him? Examine yourself, test yourself. If you truly know Jesus, show your love for him and keep his commandments. Grasp and put into practice the essential connection between knowledge, meaning your intimate relationship with him, and walking. The connection between knowledge and walking. If you know him, walk as he walked. And go before him on your knees every day, asking him to help you to do so. Walk as he walked. How did he walk? He walked in humility. He walked in humble service. He walked in wisdom. He walked in love. He walked with mercy. He walked in friendship. He walked as a great and true servant leader. He led by example. Walk as he walked. Amen. Praise God for his word.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.